What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Oh boy, you guys are in for a great show today. Now, this is a long one, so I decided to keep it as one piece instead of two because I figured you can just pause it and listen to it when you have time. So this is a conversation that was had between myself, Dylan from Typical Sportsman, and Scotty from Botoc. We had a hilarious night talking on this podcast, and we launched it today. We're launching it on our platform here, Outdoor Podcast, as well as Typical Sportsman with Dylan and his team. So enjoy the show, guys. Again, it's a little bit long, I apologize, but it is pretty funny. And if you're looking to ever get some insight into the world of archery, this is probably the best episode to listen to.
The show today is brought to you in part by Easton Archery, Gas Bowstrings, Trophy Ridge, Moultrie Mobile, Vapor Trail, Burris Optics, The Bow Hitch, and caffeine provided by Deer Camp Coffee. Now, on to the show.
All right, so I quite literally have no earthly idea where this episode's going to go. I do know Scotty's been sitting in a bar since like 2 o'clock, and we're recording at like 9 o'clock, so it might get fun. This is our first ever joint podcast between Typical Sportsman and Bowhunter Planet. So you might be listening on Bowhunter Planet. You might be listening on Typical Sportsman. That being said, we've got Scotty Evans, Dave Thomas, and myself, Dylan Ray, and it's a late night, just party sesh. I don't know what else to call it, boys. Like, that's all we're here to do.
Call talk it a good time, and have fun. Hanging out.
Shoot, today's Scotty, episode is just to talk crap about everybody in the industry.
Everybody. Everybody. So we're starting with Bowhunter Planet.
Yeah.
Believe me, I've taken my heat.
Not for me yet, bud. Scotty, how's the weather down in Georgia, bud?
It's terrible. It's we got a light dusting. It looked like somebody spilled a bunch of salt outside, and I don't like it. It's it was 30 degrees while I was heading to the bar when I called you earlier. And by the way, it wasn't 2 p.m. It was 2:38 p.m. So give me that extra.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right. When I started. My wife was dying at you. I'm like, wait, you're going to have margaritas at 2? And Scotty said, no, 2:38. My wife was dying.
What's the temperature there?
Right now, it's like 28. It's not good.
Get over it, bro.
Dude, have you ever seen five here? -5 right now.
Have you ever seen snow before?
Yeah, like once a year, but
he was in a video with snow the other day. Hit him in the eye.
Yeah, no, actually, I did that today. Actually, right when I got home from the bar, I did that video. I'm like, I'm feeling good. I can't feel the cold right now. Let's go ahead and knock this out real quick. but what's funny about that is I was feeling good coming back from the bar. Did that video. And I got a hog camera set up maybe 2 miles from my house, and boom, pictures started going off at like 4 o'clock. I'm like, oh, this would be gangster. I know I'm not going to be able to film it because it's me spot and stock, but I was like, a picture with my white limb bow with a dead hog in the snow in Georgia, that would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
I called my neighbor real quick because it's on the top of a mountain. I said, hey, man, throw the keys in the Honda four-wheeler, whatever he's got. Had been gangster too with the Honda Civic. And just rolling up with the bow out, hanging out the window. I got you. But anyways, I needed about 10 more minutes or 10 more pounds of corn before I got there, and they were gone. I was like, you little peckerhead. So after that walk in that cold, I basically wore off everything I'd gotten from the Mexican restaurant earlier. That's why I'm starting over.
Yes, sir. So what are you guys thinking for? I don't know why this came up in my mind, but I'm really excited for turkey season this year. I don't know why. I'm actually pretty stoked thinking about it. But I was just curious, broadheads, like, what are you guys thinking for yourselves for turkey?
Shotgun.
No, if you're doing a bow. If you're doing a bow.
Dude, first off, I'm not a turkey hunter. Like,
you love it.
No, I don't. So like, fun. I think you, I almost fist fought.
You look like a Tom. You got the beard and everything, nothing on top.
Dude, what are you talking about? Singing.
Gobble for me.
They call me Chrome Dome, bro. Dude, I almost fist fought Nate Hosey at ATA because I was crap talking turkey hunting. And anyways, I'm not a turkey hunter. And if I am, I'm like, I'm just going to take the shotgun and blow one's head off and get home. Like, I don't know.
Turkey hunters are very sensitive. That is one. I don't usually talk crap about other hunters, but I'll talk some smack about turkey hunters just because, Lord have mercy. Because
it's fun.
Just like your sister sometimes. If you tell them they're using the wrong call or doing it wrong.
I don't get into that much detail, but I just like going. I think I like going because realistically, turkey for me in a ground blind with a compound is like cigars. I'm cooking ramen noodles. Like, I love it. Like, to me, I can like do whatever I want. And all turkey are literally the stupidest. All they have is vision. So as long
as
you're like covered up, you could do what you want. I'm on the phone. I'm talking to people. I love it. I just find it so fun.
He takes a desk out there and he's got a computer. He's just working all day and then shoots a bird.
I used to take back, you laugh, guys will laugh so hard. Long time ago, I used to take a Switch with me and play Fortnite while I sat out there.
Dude, I don't know. I just
sounds like you're duck hunting, not turkey hunting.
I still had so much fun. I love it.
First off, it's just a bird. Like, every time somebody talks about turkey and I'm like, yeah, but have you ever been spring bear hunting? Or that, you know, they talk about turkey and I'm like, yeah, but I could go kill 40 pigs in a weekend where I could kill one bird in a weekend. Like, what's the point? Like, now, don't get like me turkey? Wrong. I'm what you call an opportunist turkey hunter. Like, I'm going to go out if I have nothing else to do, if a buddy calls me, I'll go shoot a bird. But I don't like, I've got friends who like hunt 13 states a year and.
No, I won't do that. No,
I'm like, dude, whether you're hunting in Kansas or whether you fly to Montana, it's a bird. Like,
so I will say this. I recognize now, before I say what I'm about to say, I'm going to clarify. I recognize this is completely different, but there are some aspects of this that are the same. I look at turkey hunting like the cheap version of elk hunting. Okay. And I say that because when I'm out there and I blow that call and those turkeys are like, you know, and it like shakes the tent and you can feel it. It's so exciting to me. I'm like, oh my God, they're around. Here they come, you know, but I've never done elk, and I understand elk is way more advanced and cool as hell. But I'm just saying, like, turkey to me is like the cheap version of an elk hunt. And I just find it so fun to look over and see a turkey running into that blind. I'm like, oh, here we go.
Well, you're not far off because everybody says that turkey hunting, or if you like turkey hunting, you're going to love elk hunting. But here, where's it at? There's my camera up there. Have y'all seen this from Iron Will? Iron Will. Got my broad. This is their new turkey, basically broadhead. It's got a bunch of claws up front. I might try to shoot one with this if I get the opportunity. I'm going to go to Virginia later this spring. But I'm kind of curious to see what that does. It's kind of a unique design, I think.
And which one's that called? Do you know? Oh, turkey. I see it here.
Well, yeah. And they've got it in the wide blade and they got it in the S. And basically, they took their wide blade and they took their S series and just put that claw on it, which is actually sharp. I didn't expect it to be that sharp.
Listen, I'm not trying to bust your bubble. Those are $130.
For a three pack.
For a turkey.
It's a bird. Exactly. It's exactly what you just said, Dave. It's a bird. For a turkey.
Almost our national bird. That almost took the place of the bald eagle.
Do you sell those, Scotty, at your shop?
Hell no.
Oh, I was just curious if people buy them. Because I know people buy these. Them, but I'm suggesting, like, do people buy them from a shop?
Because I got people ripping me over the two-pack of Beast Broadheads for $70.
Yeah, I figured that would happen. Yeah.
Well, don't look at that real.
And let me go back on what you said, Dave. It is the cheap man's elk hunt. And that's why it's like, If I'm going to hunt birds, I think I would love it in the mountains. Like, if I could run and gun for birds, I think I would love it. But,
oh, that'd be cool. Yeah.
You know, just like sitting here calling and they come in, I'm like, man, it was cool. It's fun. You know, shot the bird, whatever. It's not like you call, you go, you move. Like, and maybe it's because I'm in Kansas
you got one tree row.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. So we've had guys do it with compound, try to spot and stalk with a compound, and they have gotten close, but not gotten a bird. I also had guys spot and stalk with a shotgun, and they all usually are pretty successful because they have some distance they can work with the gun. But I will say this, like, I only do bow all the time because of Bow Hunter Planet, obviously. So I try to stick to bows so I can get some content to use. Right. But like, is it cool to have an awesome shotgun and do it too? Maybe. I think it'd be kind of fun. Some of the guys do. They love it. And I always yell at them, like, use a bow. I'm like, well, it's easier with the guy. I go, I know it's easier, but no one said it's going to be easy to get content, right? But now, either way.
Here's what I'll say. You boys both know that I was tied to Bear Archery for, you know, 7 years. And so
really?
Basically the podcast was always archery. Never really talked guns. And I'm an opportunist, man. If I'm going to go out and shoot a bird, if I'm going to go 2 days for a turkey hunt because I don't really care to chase them that much, I'm going to take a shotgun, blow their head off, and be done. Like that, and that's just me. Like, now, when it comes to deer hunting, I never hunt with a rifle because I just like to be out there. I want to make it more challenging, so I'm out there more. But with turkey, it's like, let's just go kill one and be done. That way I got turkey in the fridge. Like, that's where I'm at on it, man.
Last time I went with my buddy Tim. We sat together and he filmed. I was shooting my bow and the turkey. We used these. First off, I was working on some videos for Axion. Was it Axion? Is that the one I was thinking of? Is that the decoys?
Yeah, they make
AVNX.
AVNX. I'm sorry. Thank you. AVNX. I was thinking, I don't know why I used the wrong word.
AVNX. Wait, what is Axion? What was that?
A site, right? Or something?
I don't know. I think he was putting the X in the wrong spot in AVNX.
Maybe so. I thought it was right. If that means anything to you, I'm like,
Dylan's like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm
like, thanks. Dylan's got my back, baby. Woo. But anyway, so we're using decoys. And these birds just came right in, man. And the shot was 8 yards, is what I was going to say. It was crazy, like so easy. And I killed it. I shot it. This is actually an interesting story. So I shot it. The bird went 5 yards and dumped on the edge of the tree line. And so the birds ran away for a second, and then about 2 minutes later, they all came back, and then they start beating the crap out of that turkey. I mean, it was dead, and they were sitting there like jumping on it. I don't know. I didn't want to say the dirty things they were doing to it. It was like Dirty Mike and the Boys. I mean, it was disgusting. Things were happening that I'm telling you guys right now. I have video of all this. Me and Tim are dying going, this is Dirty Mike and the Boys. I'm laughing.
Tim's we got a whole jar of mayonnaise and some Cheetos, and we're gonna play some talk radio. Dude, real loud.
It was a dead turkey, and they're going crazy at it all sorts of ways. I'm telling you, like, I'm talking disgusting.
All right, so Axion is a accessory company. They make stabilizers, sights, rests, all that stuff. They even make thermal monoculars is what I found. But yeah, so they do make accessories.
I knew I confused the brands. Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, Axion. Yeah, that was one. That was a brand.
Yeah,
use the shit.
But AVNX, thank you,
Scotty. I gotta ask you, man. Uh-huh. From ATA, what was your favorite new products? Like, first off, I gotta ask you what you thought of the form. Like
the form?
Yeah.
I haven't got my personal, I'll tell you like I tell everybody else, I ain't got my personal bow yet, so I haven't been able to put it through the ringers. I did get one for like 24 hours or less, actually, to do a YouTube video and review on, and then I had to give it back. And ironically, I got a chance to shoot a deer in that YouTube video. As of right now, everything makes sense on that bow. And the more the people that are talking smack about it, the more I love it, because it's like, you're a gooberhead. Because, I mean, most people talking smack about it haven't even pressed the start button on CNC machine before in their life. So they're talking about weak points and this, that, and the other. I'm like, you clearly don't know what's going on in the heads of the boys at G5. So as of right now, I really like the bow. I'm really excited to run it through the most rigorous, however you say that word, the hardest test. And that's basically shooting my super light tack arrows through it a bunch and see what happens.
Yeah. Now I will say, I don't worry about the structural integrity of it, like just failing. Mm-hmm. I worry about it like rotating on an axis, if you will, like with the rods, like just breaking loose inside of the riser, if you will, and the riser kind of like rotating against itself. Now, I'll say this, those guys at Prime, they're 100%. They're a machine company. Like they are people who innovate and make machined equipment. And so I trust them fully and completely. I've seen the tests. I know what they've ran. I'm just saying, and I told this on the podcast what I did with Prime. That was my first concern, not necessarily the strength or the integrity of the riser, but that the riser would twist and rotate. Now, to everybody who said, and 100% authenticity here, I was a skeptic when I saw it. Like you heard innovation, you heard, man, we're about to change the game. And then I see it, I'm like, kind of gimmicky. Like, let's be honest here, you didn't do much. But the more that I looked at it and the more that I looked at what they did, they removed weight from where you wouldn't want weight. They mm-hmm. added carbon in the places in the riser you would want the stiffest part of your riser to be. And really, and here's what I'll say, every person that makes a carbon bow, they're still using aluminum. Prime's just not hiding it. You know what I mean? Like right. they're just saying like, yeah, it's an aluminum and carbon bow. And so they've really, in my opinion, they've made a bow that's going to balance phenomenal because they've taken the weight out where you want it, and it's going to be the stiffest where the riser would flex. So, and I'm like you, I shot it a handful of times. I've played with it, but I haven't, you know, really pushed it and tried a lot with it with my own personal bow. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I really am excited about it. And so I was curious to hear your thoughts on it as well as other things from the ATA show.
Yeah, like you said, I've been asked that question quite a bit. And, you know, until I really get my hands on it and do some consistent shooting and long distance shooting, see how it holds. I mean, if it does half as good as my RBX that I've shot the snot out of, then me and that bow are going to love each other. As far as the coolest thing, That's me.
What? There you go.
Put it back.
I just want to show this. This set right here.
Oh,
I know.
I was like, the whole thing was canceled.
Now let me say this. I ordered the blue because I think the blue is sexy with the white limbs. So I ordered blue with white limbs, and then I saw red. And I'm a Razorback fan because I'm not stupid from Georgia. So I ordered white and red for the razor. And then I saw the red, and I'm like, crud, dude! I could have made a Razorback theme bow.
They don't have the white ones on here, huh?
Yeah, it's at the very last one. You can't see it.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. Thank you. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Blending it with the background.
Yeah, I ordered the blue one. I'm going to put the light gray proof on it from Dialed. It's going to be sexy.
My color is actually not on there.
Oh, you're special.
What color did you get?
It's a surprise.
Oh,
it's a surprise.
Oh, you're special, huh?
Special request, and it hasn't been completely confirmed yet. But evidently, there's like a 90% chance. That's what I've been told.
You ain't getting it. You ain't getting it.
This is what I think I'd want right here. But I what I would like to do is wrap the rods with bow wraps. However, I want them. That's how I want to do this bow. Like, I would use this color. This is not what they're sending me, but like, I wish it was. I'm about to make a call. Can we switch this?
Dylan, did you get yours in 80 pounds?
No, I didn't because I'm not stupid.
You should.
Why?
Why not?
I could because
a 70. Because I've seen my wife blow through 200 pound deer with a 40 pound bow. So it's like, why do I need 80 pounds?
I wouldn't know what to do with my life if I even saw a 200 pound deer.
What'd you get yours then? You're 80? You got 80? 70, 80?
No, I did not get 80 pounds.
Oh, you bullcrap.
The buck I shot this year weighed 265 on the hoof.
Jesus, dude.
Holy cow, dude.
Yeah.
I've shot hogs that big, but with deer around here, no.
Oh, trust
George
me,
deer, bro, tiny.
I grew up in Southern Arkansas. Like, I actually went home. So I shot that buck. I went home for the holidays, and then I shot a doe that weighed 75 pounds. Like, I've seen both sides of the spectrum, and I've hunted both sides. I grew up hunting that side of the spectrum. Man, I don't know. I'm not a fan of the heavy game. I actually dropped to 60 pounds a couple years ago just because I'm like, man, I just want to shoot for hours, not ever get tired, not ever feel pain. Because again, dude, like I've had pass-throughs on deer. Well, that recurve right there, I don't know if you can see it in the camera. That's a 43-pound recurve, and I've blown through deer with that. So it's like, okay, if I can shoot through deer with a 43-pound recurve, like a 70-pound compound that's so much more effective and efficient, why go to 80?
Bro, you know, what you need to turkey hunt with this spring, your recurve.
Now, I think that would be a lot funner.
A lot more challenging, recurve, though.
I think it'd be a lot more challenging, a lot more fun, and kind of make that bird hunt fun. Again, man, I'm just like, if I'm going out to turkey and I'm going to blow one's head off and come home, like, because here's what's going to happen, Scott. I'll tell you, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go out with my recurve and I'm going to have a bird hang up at like 35, 40 yards and be like, crap. And then I'm going to get mad. And then it's going to be like, well, I got a turkey hunt now until I kill a bird. Then I'm going to spend 10 days turkey hunting, and I don't want to spend 10 days turkey hunting.
Just shoot it at 35 yards. What's the problem?
Oh, well, I suck. That's the problem. I suck.
You don't suck.
You got it.
Just like great. All right,
favorite single products from ATA. I got to hear it, Scotty.
Okay, I'm going to do the coolest product first. I don't even remember the name, but it'll be really easy to find. But there was.
Can I just say one thing? It's not going to be Badlands because they did not go.
I wouldn't have done that anyways because that would make me biased.
That's crazy, though. If I ever heard of Badlands not being there, it's the first time I've ever heard of that.
Oh, that's a good one. How am I biased? I want to hear this. I like criticism.
I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Because you own a shop. You only gonna like things you sell.
I've just heard you talk about Badlands so much. I'm like, God, has this guy worn anything else in his lifetime?
No, because it has a lifetime warranty. Why would you?
Bingo.
Bingo. It's not biased. That's smart. That's a good financial investment. Bitcoin didn't work out, so now I invest in Badlands.
No, they do make some sweet gear.
Back to my coolest product, there was a dirt bike there that was all battery operated. But from it was Baku? A legit, you I know? Mean, it looked like a four stroke.
From Baku?
Sure.
Yeah. No, I saw it too. And I'm like, what's the top speed on this? And like, I think they said 110. And I'm like, no way, dude.
Bro, we were trying to figure out how we could jack that thing and get in the bed of the F1 shitty and bring it back to Georgia. But I was afraid nobody would be able to start it fast enough. I was like, I don't know how this thing would work.
Let me just tell you this. I rode one of their prototypes. Pope and Young had an event at the Baku Center there in Ogden. Mm-hmm. And I rode one of the prototypes and straight up, like you could pop it in third gear and be popping wheelies in third gear. Like that thing is bad, dude.
That is crazy. I mean, when I saw it, I thought it was like a legit dirt bike. I was like, is that a Yamaha? And I looked at the booth. I'm like, that's not how you spell Yamaha. And
those things are bad, dude. Like straight up. It's a dirt bike. And like, you better know how to ride.
What company was it?
Baku.
Oh, Baku.
Yeah. I don't, the one that they had at the show, I don't even know if it's like they've technically released like on the website yet, but it's the Puma. And it is, they are sick, dude.
Nah, that wasn't a Puma. That was a Mufasa. That thing looked like a beast. Because when I saw it, I was like, that's a whole ass dirt bike. And I was like, it doesn't take oil.
How much was it?
Oh, we didn't even ask.
Like 10 grand?
Oh, my. Yeah. See, the thing about those dirt bikes, actually, it's funny you guys brought this up because my son's real big into electric dirt bikes and bikes and motorcycles. And we created another channel called Mini Moto Planet, by the way. So we started working on that project. Anyway, so we actually been trying to acquire these bikes that you're talking about. And there's a price point between, I would suggest, $1,200 and about $6,000. Anything above that, there's a few, but not many. But I would assume Baku is going to be at the higher end of that price point, but yeah. Pretty cool stuff though.
I really don't know. Public land hunters going to be like, yeah, $10,000.
No, not at all. That's craziness. You just need an electric bike with fat tires. You can get around. You spend $500 on.
That's a divorce attorney, a cheap one actually.
Yeah. Cool stuff. Just too much money, man. They got to be careful how much they're charging.
I'm still trying to think of the product I like the most that I saw revealed at ATA. I really didn't see anything that just absolutely rocked my socks off. Excel came out with a site that does what every site does. I mean, it looks cool. It looks like something off Starship Troopers, but I mean, as far as anything that's going to help you be a better shooter, it kind of has all the same features, unless I missed something. But I asked the guy, I said, what's this do different than another site brand? He held up his phone, had me watch a YouTube video. I said, thank you for your time. And I really just didn't see, Painted Arrow had a foam mount for bow fishing, for filming those. 10 Point had pretty much already released their crossbows. I feel like there was somebody that dropped something. Help me out, Dylan. There was somebody that dropped something that I was like, oh shit, they actually weighed ATA. I can't remember who it was.
Well, Expedition waited for the X-Lite 32. They won all the awards for like newest product and newest bow. Trueball did a big, well, that would be Excel, right? So yeah, never mind. Yeah, I just know at their booth they did a big launch. I don't know. That's the only people I can think of.
Annihilator Broadheads came out with something pretty Gucci. Did y'all see that?
No,
I didn't.
Yep, they came out with Hell's Bells. I don't remember the name of it, but I'm gonna order some.
Any short-sighted spy in the field can provide you with images. Only the Moultrie Edge 2 cell cams provide tactical reconnaissance. High-resolution photos and videos paired with detailed intel of where game is most active. Built for simplicity, just turn on your Edge 2 cell cam and it will auto-connect to one of the four major cellular networks, while our easy-to-use app arms you with game plan so you can determine where and when to hunt. Don't just capture images. Gather intelligence.
The most advanced range-finding bow sight is now even better. Introducing the Oracle 2 from Burris. Based on customer feedback, we improved the pin brightness control, refined the LRF adjustment system, and brightened the aiming ring. There's still no glass to scratch, fog, glare, or break, and the fail-safe 20-yard pin has your back no matter what. At the push of a button, you instantly get the yardage to target. Extend your ethical distance with the Oracle 2 from Burris. Burris.
But Easton match-grade shafts undergo a far more meticulous straightness check with razor tolerance at both ends, the center, and the critical quarter locations. Discover the ultimate in precision and made in USA quality. Visit your authorized Easton dealer and pick up your Easton match-grade Pro Shop Series arrows today.
What does it mean to be unrivaled? To be unrivaled isn't about winning a trophy. It's about putting in the hours that nobody else sees. To be unrivaled isn't just a choice, it's a lifestyle. It's to push yourself to be your best day in and day out. Gas Bowstrings. Be unrivaled.
For more than 20 years, Trophy Ridge has developed tools that bow hunters trust and continue to lead the way in bow hunting innovation. Our field-proven products dish out dirt naps all over the world, We've manufactured and sold millions of products along the way, each one strategically designed to give you a distinct advantage in the field. From the backyard and competitive courses to the backcountry and Midwest cornfields, our products remain lethal, accurate, and continue to help you react to the situation at hand. Trophy Ridge accessories give you confidence, regardless of the situation. Our sights, rest, stabilizers, quivers, and releases set you up to be successful season after season. There are plenty of factors to think about on the hunt. Your gear shouldn't be one of them. We're Trophy Ridge, and we build the tools that bow hunters trust.
Look it up real quick, Dave. It's okay. Basically, yeah, that's not a good terminology. You tell me when you see it how you would describe it. It's really hard. It's kind of unique, in my opinion.
Did you ever shoot, before we dive into that, did you ever shoot their, like, their original head that was supposed to, like, create the bore through the deer or whatever?
Nope.
Yes, I have. I haven't had a deer with it, though.
Yeah, that's what... I shot it. It flew good. I never shot an animal with it, but I know one time I missed my target and hit the privacy fence behind it, and it didn't go through the privacy fence, and that worried me.
Right here?
No.
You sure? That looks new. Never seen that before.
Your screen is the same for me.
Yeah, screen same for me too.
Your screen's still showing 100 grain broadheads and the original ones.
Really? Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, that one. Yep.
It won't let me click it, though, because I'm not logged in. But you see that? It's got some that's different than their other one, though. That's like a normal broadhead.
But right, basically, like, it's supposed to open up the wound channel more for a, I think it's a single bevel broadhead. It might be a double, but basically a two-blade broadhead.
And they don't have a video. I thought maybe they have a video. I will say this, though. That looks like, to me, just throwing that out there, because I'm assuming there's four of those, two on each side. That looks like an F4 from Sick Broadheads, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Dylan.
Well, there's somebody who makes a head just like that. Like, who is it that makes one that looks identical to that?
Oh, so this Carver is Express. Basic. Yeah, sure. Carver Express had F something. Remember, it's older one, though.
So this is basically a single bevel with two bleeders on it. I mean, is what?
No, they're not blades, or at least I don't think they are.
Yes, I'm sorry. Sick Broad's not the one. I'm sorry. That was wrong. It was Carbon Express, but I don't know who makes it today anymore. Let me just see if I can find it.
Well, y'all got
so those aren't sharp?
That boy from Deliverance playing the banjo. Who y'all talking about?
Are those dull, Scott?
Yeah, they're like rivets that are raised to open up the wound channel. They're not actually not actual sharpened blades or anything.
I don't know that I can get behind that. Like, would that not slow down? I mean, would that not take away from kinetic energy?
I don't know. I ain't shot nothing with them yet. It's just, you asked me if I saw something cool. I was like,
here, no, I found what I was looking for. Hold on.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's cool for sure, but
this one here. See it?
Yeah.
That's a straight, and there's a two little bleeders on both sides, four of them. F-15 dual. That's it. F-15.
I think there's somebody that makes something even more like that.
Ooh, somebody going to get sued.
And that looks similar, or am I off? It does. It's just solid, right?
Yeah, it does look similar, except those are double bleeder blades instead of just rivets that are raised. I don't know. I thought it was cool.
Anyway, it's cool.
I'm not saying it's a great design because I haven't shot anything with it yet, but
that bike, I found that bike, by the way. You're right. It's $9,500.
Hey, how many shot pay installments?
Dude, $9,500 is a lot for those bikes, because to be honest with you, if I was spending that kind of money, I could buy an actual Honda, Yamaha, or Suzuki with an engine, but it'd be way cheaper than that. And those are like top notch.
But so you can't take those on public land, though, Dave. I mean,
yeah, but here's my thing. Here's what I'll throw out at you guys. For anybody looking for electric bikes or electric to get to and from a hunting spot, okay, I would highly suggest the Ego. $1,500, two batteries, some Ego used on your lawnmower, your blower, your whipper, and that thing will take you anywhere. It's a mini bike with fat tires. It's going to take you through just as much stuff and quietly and way cheaper, by the way.
All right, Dave, go to vpaarchery.com. The second broadhead on their list. This is what I was thinking that it looked like. Now, I've never shot these. Yeah, I've never shot these, never had my hands on them, never even looked at them. But that raised part that goes on the back of the bevel is sharpened. So you would think that that would be better than two dual.
Like, which one? This one?
The middle one, yeah. Or maybe it's the first one, actually. Good.
Hold on a second, sorry.
Vantage Point Archery or VAP Archery?
This is Vantage Point Same Archery, thing. But it's the VPA broadheads.
Oh. Is it a two blade?
Okay, not to get off track, but what is that all the way to the far right? That looks medieval.
Turkey spurs. That is crazy, turkey spurs. Bro. Look at that.
That looks gnarly.
I like it. It's kind of wild.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get off track. That caught my attention.
Dude, it's called the Omega, Dave. I would consider it a double bevel, like two blade with long bleeders, but I don't
know. Oh, it is this one, but I can't. Oh, I can click it.
For crossbows.
It won't let me click it.
Oh, yeah, that middle one right there. See, that's like that's not a blade, but it's like a bleeder that goes all the way up the broadhead. Like,
huh.
That's wicked.
Which, again, never shot it. Have no idea how it performs.
Has anybody ever shot a deer with that toxic one?
No.
That spins?
I haven't, but I got a buddy in South Carolina a couple of years ago when that toxic was kind of first starting to make waves. It does exactly what you think it would do. You got three or four little holes, however those blades circle around in the deer. And that's really about it.
Should we honestly be talking about the prices of broadheads? I feel like a lot of these are very expensive, like $106.
Well, it
depends. I mean, is that crazy? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I feel like I'll throw this out there. I could shoot a Montech all day and spend $50 or some sort of Rage or some sort of Faradine Muzzy. I feel like this is getting a little extreme unless you're going on some crazy hunt that you need. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know. What do you guys think?
No, you're 100%.
My opinion is this. Scotty can say what he wants because he knows more than I do. If you view your broadhead as a one and done or replaceable or there's an issue. I'll say this, though. I agree with you because the Montech's one of the best heads, in my opinion, ever made.
Ever made? Yeah, it's crazy.
But I'll say this. At the end of the day, I don't care what bow you're shooting. I don't care what camo you're using, whether it's Badlands or not. I don't care. At the end of the day, a successful hunt, the broadhead is the first and sometimes the only thing to contact the animal. Period. So why would I not want the best, sharpest head that I could have? Now, does money equal the best? I don't think so. Because again, that Montech, you can get razor sharp. I mean, so I don't know. I've had the same thought in my mind, Dave, of like, well, do I want to shoot a broadhead that costs, you know, $40 a rip? And if I lose it, then I just lost $40? Or do I shoot a broadhead that I know I can trust and believe in? And if I lose it or break it, then it's not the end of the world. You know what I mean? So yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've got broadheads over here that cost $120 a piece, and I've got broadheads over here that cost $40 for a three pack.
Like, let's throw the question to Scotty in the sense of his shop. So like what sells the best for you at the shop that just out of everything?
$60 to $70 three pack of broadheads is going to be bread and butter all day.
Which specific ones do the best, would you say?
Oh, Mega Meats are by far my number one selling broadhead. We sell a couple hundred packs of those a year. But it's kind of funny because there's a lot of people that came in and didn't bat an eye at the two-pack of Beast Broadheads for the same price. In fact, the way I look at Broadheads, and I mean, really just kind of bounce off of what Dylan said. I mean, I tell people that there's usually one or two customers. There's the guy that is willing to make the investment on like $130 pack of Tulus, Iron Wheels, whatever, who's wants to resharpen them. And have you seen the Donald Trump ones he came out with? There they are. there's that guy, and then there's your everyday bow hunter that's okay would rather spend $40 to $60 and, you know, buy replacement blades later on down the road or whole new pack of broadheads.
So walk me through this real quick, because you know about both these brands. So let's talk about this broadhead versus, now from what you've seen on it, what you know about it, this broadhead versus the new T2 from mm-hmm. G5.
So I've shot that broadhead, shot a couple deer with it this year. I'll go ahead and tell you right now, Beast? I'm not a huge fan of the T2. I've got them right here, and they're still in the packs. I'll tell you why I'm not a big fan of them. One, it looks a lot like somebody else. And two, the deployment on them, I'm not crazy about. Out of a compound bow, I feel like there's a chance of them not deploying. I'm not saying they won't deploy, but if...
Why do you say compound?
Because if I was to shoot that broadhead, I'd probably put it on a crossbow, something with more connection.
Okay, so you're saying it takes a little bit too much pressure?
Yeah, I'm saying that. I talked to Brian about it, and I was just honest with him. I mean, I hope they sell 10,000 of them. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but I mean, it's not a broadhead that I'm crazy about, and it's definitely not a broadhead that people flocked into the shop to check out. Now, as far as the Beast broadhead, there was a whole lot more marketing behind it because, let's be real, Josh Bomar, I think, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, he may have the biggest outdoor YouTube channel on YouTube,
sure.
Period.
Yeah.
2 million subscribers, last I checked.
I don't think Josh needs much marketing because he kind of does it on his own.
Well, that's what I meant. That's
yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, when I say marketing, I'm talking about Josh doing his own marketing. But yeah, as far as one to the other, I will say I shot two deer with the Beast. Actually did not get a complete pass through on both, which was kind of disappointing. There's a YouTube video on that.
How about you, 40 pounds on your bow?
One of them was 71 and the other one was 73 pounds.
Dang, that's crazy. I'm surprised
by that. And they weren't a super light arrow. In fact, I think it was the Black Eagle Focus arrows. I think I was running around between 460 and 475 grain total arrow weight. 150 of it was up front. So, and it's an arrow that I shot other deer with other broadheads and didn't really have an issue. So, I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it personally. I just wasn't a huge fan of the bone evading technology that I didn't get a pass through with when I didn't even hit bone.
Yeah. What about this one?
Rage Black Series chisel.
Or any Rage. I mean, any Rage. I mean, what's the, you know, you see a lot of people ask for this.
The hypodermic no collar, that gave me the biggest slap cut I've ever seen on a white. I was actually the first broadhead I used on a slick head this past season. In fact, that YouTube video is still flagged because I showed too much details. that broadhead surprised me now. And that's a perfect example. If you have that broadhead in your hand and have this T2 in your hand, that Rage hypodermic opens so much easier, not overly easy to where it's going to deploy midair, but it opens a whole lot easier than the T2s, or at least the T2s I got.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard, man. Broadheads are an interesting topic just because I feel like everybody's got their own feeling on it. I mean, I have used so many different broadheads over the years. I will say the hypodermic for me has been a win. You know, I've killed so many animals with it over the years. It's crazy, really. Didn't matter the size or the animal, they went down. So,
yeah,
huge cuts too. But yeah. I will say this: I did have an angle shot where I shot at a deer like this, which was a terrible angle. I should have waited, but it was my fault. hit the top of the rib cage there, and I did not get that deer with this broadhead. So that was the only time I had an issue, is when I didn't shoot at it, you know, clean broadside shot, you know.
It's funny we're having this conversation on this podcast tonight, because actually earlier today I did my top three favorite broadheads, and it was the G5 Mega Meat, it was the Rage Hypodermic No Collar, and it was the Sever Hybrid. Those were my top three Sever that I was delightfully impressed with this year.
This whole time I've been looking, trying to find somebody bigger than Josh Bomar, just because I didn't want him to have that title.
No, there's nobody bigger. There's nobody bigger.
But you're right.
There's no bigger.
Biggest YouTube channel in hunting is Josh Bomar.
It's probably him, then Hunting Public, and then, I don't know.
Hunting Public, that's only a candle. Hunting Public's not even at a million subscribers.
Oh, okay, sorry. Then I don't know who would be.
Maybe I think Meat Eater's next.
Oh, Meat Eater, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot.
Campaign's right up there.
Dylan's like, I don't want it to be him. Please be wrong, Scotty. Please be wrong.
No, Josh is just a genius when it comes to that stuff, guys. I mean, there's no way around it.
I'm going to save my opinions of Josh Bomar for off air.
That's okay. But what I'm saying is, as a marketing person, a YouTuber.
No, you're right.
He is lights out. Nobody competes with him.
I was just sitting here trying to like come up with somebody.
Look how cool this is. See how it moves? That's so cool.
So,
this is a good website here.
We're not interested in their website. We're interested in their broadheads. So, we're interested in the Dylan, death delivery.
You might do what? This interesting. Do you know who owns Sever broadheads?
We don't talk about that.
Hopefully not Josh Bomar.
Do you know they don't like to talk about that, Scott? You're opening a can of worms, my friend.
Who owns it?
Why wouldn't they want to talk about it? It's a great broadhead. It's something
to be. I hear you.
Who owns it? Go ahead and tell me, Scotty. You can't say it, not say it.
I mean,
it didn't come from me.
Okay. Well, Easton,
I'll be back.
Well, you're not saying it. Turn off his camera.
Actually, I have to go back real quick. I'll be back.
Who is it, Scotty? Go ahead.
It's Easton Archery. They bought it from somebody else.
I knew that.
I asked you if you knew that.
Well, I didn't think, like, I didn't think about it until you said it, because I knew they owned. Well, I tied Sever targets to Easton, but I didn't ever tie Sever broadheads to Easton. So
Sever has targets.
Yeah, dope targets too. Like, you not seen these?
I mean, obviously the same company as the Sever broadheads, like same warehouse or same name in general.
Yeah, 100%. Same website, SeverBroadheads.com. How dude, they have the dopest target. It's a blank target. I don't know if you can see that. And it comes with golf pins, like, that you can put in to aim at. Like, super cool.
All right, Sever. I'm going to their website right now. It says Dave ran off with his tail between his legs.
What a weenie. Yeah, the Sever 21-inch HD archery target.
All right, shop. Mechanical broadheads, field points, placement.
They're sweet, dude. They even come with an arrow puller in the side of them, like molded into the side. You can pull it out, pull the arrows, put it back in.
Wood and tarnation, broadhead storage. Oh, and you said it's on the Sever Broadhead website?
Yeah, I'm on severbroadheads.com.
I just went to shop and I don't see. Oh, HD target. There it is. Lord have mercy.
Yeah. And then the whole backside is just blank. So you can just, like, and it comes with golf pins. So you can stick it in and have a reference point to aim at.
Jesus. A 21 inch target for $289?
Yeah.
God, oh, man.
Come back.
Easton, hey, Dave, how you doing, on the man? Targets, too.
What are you guys talking about now?
We're talking about Sever targets. He didn't know Sever made targets.
They don't. I don't think they have.
Yeah, maybe. We're looking at them.
The hell they don't.
No, but I don't know. They still have those. I feel like they had them, but then when they sold Delta,
McKenzie. No. In stock right now. I can.
No, I know, but it might be what's left. Is all I'm saying. I'm not sure.
They're a separate company. We don't talk about that, Dave.
They don't talk about it.
Why don't you go pee again? We'll finish our business.
You know why they don't talk about it? Because it's a direct to consumer brand.
And Sever is.
They're not a direct Severus. Yeah, they're not a direct to other brands are not direct to consumer.
Well, that's why you didn't know about it, because you can't buy them no way, Scotty.
Here's my two cents about that. If you don't want people to know about it, should you be doing it?
Mm. I don't think it's that people not to know about it. I think it's just that who owns it.
Scotty coming out with some knowledge at 10 p.m. Like, dang, brother.
Y'all just wait until I get through the rest of this bourbon. Lord have mercy. It's going to be biblical.
Oh, man.
No, seriously. I don't understand why they, and I'm not trying to keep on going. We'll move on. But, I mean, it's a phenomenal broadhead. It's a great product. It's, like you said, it's direct to consumer. Who cares? It's a great product. Make your money, honey. Lord have mercy.
So now I'm curious to know, Dave, like, is there anything on their website that indicates Easton?
I'm not saying anything. It's nothing to do with me. This conversation. I'll keep my opinions to myself.
All right, let's move on.
You're such a child. Dave's
people are very uncomfortable. He just texted me the middle finger emoji, and I'm just kidding. He didn't do that.
I don't know what they're doing. I'm just telling you guys. Normally, I don't hear about it because you don't see a connection there. That's all I'm saying. So, like, when
you guys move on, I'm going to deep dive into this.
Yeah, I'll deep dive with you offline, but I ain't deep diving.
What was funny is I asked Dylan, I said, did you know? And he's like, no. Then I said it. He's like, oh, I knew that. I'm like, what?
I mean, don't look at me. I don't work there. I'm just
kidding. And that's how he found out they had Targets, because I said, well, I associated Easton with Sever Targets, but I guess I never made the connection Sever Targets was by Sever Broadheads. Like, and he was like, what? They have Targets? And I'm like, yeah, and they're dope. But
what I'm saying is that the Targets are Delta McKenzie Targets that are made to be Sever. That's all I'm saying. So what I'm telling you guys is when they run out of those, I don't know they're going to keep those. That's all I'm saying from what I heard. So I don't know. They could be. I don't know. But I mean,
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
You know,
that would make sense, because I mean, if they're moving their Target, you know, production and giving that off to Big Shot, then that would make sense. I mean, they're not going to keep producing one Target for seven.
That's what I think, but I could be wrong. I don't know the exact details, but if I have a feeling that that's what's like excess and they're just going to sell them till they're gone, but maybe I'm wrong, because it would be weird. How would they make these Targets if they sold their whole, I don't know.
I can text you and find out real quick.
What's that?
I can text somebody and find out real quick. Hold on.
You should. I am curious now that you guys said that, if they're keeping the Targets.
Hold on, y'all.
Now that we've already made people mad.
Well, the Target's actually awesome. I have it. It's a great Target. That's why if they're going to keep it, that'd be excellent. But I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's what I told. That's what I told Scotty. I'm like, dude, yeah. And it's a dope Target. Like,
I have this Target. It's awesome. It's really nice.
I guess I just never associated Sever Targets with Sever Broadheads to associate Sever Broadheads owned by Easton.
Hey, homie, with y'all purchasing Delta McKenzie, what's going to happen with the Sever Targets? Just out of curiosity, asking for a friend.
Is that? Did you text Hunter? He froze up.
Uh-oh. He didn't want to let us hear the conversation.
Oh man,
he didn't know you were still on.
He went pee. He pulled it.
That's what we should do.
Dave muted that mug and went pee.
We should totally start just calling people in the industry and talking them on here like randomly.
Well, wouldn't that be fun? God, we get some dirt there, man. Let me tell you something.
Woo, Lord, I got scared. I thought Dave cut it off. He's like, I've had enough.
Did you?
As soon as I hit send, the whole screen froze. I'm like, oh, I overdid it. My bad.
Did you text Hunter?
Yeah. I was going to text Brandon, but he's got his notifications turned off. He hasn't responded yet.
Oh.
I can always count on Hunter. He's doing a lot of kitchen remodeling, so he's probably up late.
So guys, asking for a friend.
Let's I'm going to ask you this question. And again, this is, I have no stake in this by any means. I'm just curious your thoughts. Botec. All right. Moving to Botec here real quick.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Well, I'm just curious about the situations they've been in the last few years. They're making some good bows, no doubt about it. But I'm just asking about like the target shooters. Like they got rid of Tim, they got rid of Kyle, but they kept Hannah. Is that the right move, the wrong move? I guess, Scotty, your thoughts on that from a perspective of a pro shop? Do you care? You know, I was just curious. Like, isn't it not Hannah? Sorry, who's their girl shooter? Sorry.
Oh, I did a reaction Paige video Pierce. To her dad and didn't know it.
Paige Pierce.
Sorry, not Hannah. I don't know why I was thinking Hannah Baron for a minute. Paige.
Yeah.
I was just curious, like, because they kept her. I'm nothing against her by any means here. I'm just asking, like. Mm-hmm. So why keep one person and not just get rid of the whole program? You know, just, you know, thoughts on that, I guess.
I mean, I've never, not one time, had a person come in and said, Tim Gillingham shoots this bow. I want to buy it. Personally, yeah. At least.
But have you ever had anybody come in and say, Paige shoots this bow, I want to buy it?
No.
So then our question is the same.
Like, you know why? It's because hunting's hunting. And this is where I have this concern with the industry with Target is like, you guys, they put so many apples in this area of money. And it seems to me like just the biggest waste of space cash. Like you, all these people are coming in off based off things like YouTube videos and things like that to look for a bow, like, or they just come in because they need a bow. They have no idea who these people are. And I only know that because all my friends who hunt and do archery know none of these people. Even this one's going to be hard to believe, but even Levi Morgan, they don't even know who that is. I'm like, or Waddell in some cases, the guys are like, I don't know who the hell that, I don't care. I just want to get a bow, Dave. You know, so like, it's just, to me, it's almost like you're only paying for our industry to learn about it ourselves. Cause like, it's like an internal marketing thing. Like for some reason, like it's only the industry who cares about who these people are. Outside, no one gives a rat's ass. I mean, realistically.
I really want to say something.
Do it, man. Up.
Go for it. Dave will go pee. You say what you want.
Okay.
I've said a lot.
Boys and girls, I'm going to go on record right now and tell you that Target Archery is a pissing contest between manufacturers, period. That's all.
Maybe that's a good point.
That's all I agree. Is. Now.
Nope. He's close again.
He's
maybe
like, nope.
A good thing. A good thing he's
frozen. Like, this gone too far.
Man, that's such a good thought though that you bring up. Like, everybody in our industry is the only people that really know and care who these people are. Like,
for sure.
New hunters don't have any idea who these people are. Like, people who are just joining the sport don't have any idea who these people are. So, and here's what I've learned. Like, the most famous people in hunting can still walk into Walmart and no one know who they are.
No one know who they're
like. Waddell don't walk into Walmart and be swarmed for autographs.
Yep.
Oh, Scotty's gone completely. Sad
you
day.
Need to get out of that conversation quick.
Sad day. Maybe we, yeah,
he'll be back.
But that's what I've learned, man, is like, because I've been in airports with these people, like,
yeah,
I've been in settings with them where no one knows who they are. And once they remove themselves, I'm going to stop the recording once he joins back, but, and restart it. That way we don't lose him. But, you don't have no camera though. No one knows who they are. Like,
I don't have
to. Like, I'm back. You don't see anything.
Are you serious? Is my camera really not working?
Peekaboo.
I'm back, baby.
Nah, y'all see what happened there. Matthew's cut the connection right when I was about to spill the beans. Y'all saw that, didn't you?
They made you thought you got scared and ran.
Is my camera really not working? Because I can see me just
fine. He said Matthew's cut the connection.
Y'all see what happened? They called Windstream. They're like, we got to cut this guy off.
Guys, I am all about prioritizing your feet. If you take care of your feet on the mountains or in the tree stand, you will just undoubtedly last longer. I remember the first time I ever went out west wearing a cheap pair of boots and cotton socks. Hot spots and blisters absolutely just took over that hunt. And here's what I learned. The more comfortable your feet are, the further you'll go, the faster you'll get there, the longer you'll stay on the mountain, and you'll just hunt better because your mind is on the hunt, not on your feet. That's when I come upon Schnee's. Schnee's makes the best mountain boots, in my opinion. I'm going to go ahead and tell you my favorite pair. My favorite pair is the Timberlines. I have ran the mountain in those on several different occasions, several different climates, several different, you know, terrain types. And those boots just seem to always perform. They're light, they're fast, they're comfortable. There's no break in. They're Italian made. They're high quality, phenomenal boots. However, I'm also here in the Midwest, do a lot of Midwest hunting, a lot of tree stand hunting. And I'm a big fan of rubber boots for that. Here's why. Leather holds scent. So I'm a big fan that I don't want any leather on my feet when I'm whitetail hunting, walking in and out of my tree stands. So I've always been a leather boot guy. A couple years ago, Schnee's introduced the Highwoods. They now have it in a 0 gram insulation and a 400 gram insulation. It's a phenomenal rubber boot. Again, I have pushed those boots really hard. I've actually used them on quite a few snowy pheasant hunts, walked a lot of miles in them. They're super, super comfortable, super warm, super tough. Guys, prioritize your feet. Take care of your feet. If you're sitting in a tree stand, make sure your feet are going to be warm. If you're on the mountain, make sure you've got a good pair of merino socks and a good pair of boots so you can stay on the mountain longer, hunt harder, be more successful. Guys, go to schnees.com. That's S-C-H-N-E-E-S.com for the best boots money can buy. All right, Scotty, just so everybody knows, we had a little bit of technical difficulties there. Apparently, the powers that be cut Scotty off before he said what he was going to say.
It was Matthew's Archie. They cut my Wi-Fi off before I spilled the beans. That's what it was.
All right, go ahead. Target Archery is a waste of money. Let her rip, tater chips.
Yeah.
Make the whole world mad.
I'm not taking anything away from the target shooters. Don't get me wrong.
This comes from a pro shop.
Yeah, these guys are not associated. I'm obviously not paid by anybody.
Hey, give them your address to the store before you say this.
Stephen B. Tanger Boulevard, Suite 101. Hey, but all right, anyways, once again, what target archers do and what they accomplish is extremely impressive. Obviously, I think it's like 1%. It's like 1% of archers in general that can accomplish what they can do. But just like any other professional sport, they're going to go to who pays the most, period. And Matthew sells the most bows because they have the best marketing and they pay the most money. So most people are going to shoot them, which kudos to them. I mean, if I was in their shoes, I'd do the 100%. Same thing. But it's almost gotten to a point where you show up and everybody looks like a bumblebee off of Transformers because there's so many yellow and black jerseys everywhere.
Well, they are quite literally to target archery what Nike is to basketball. I mean, all the money and Michael Jordan, and I mean, that's literally what they are. And again, like you said, no shame. I mean, congratulations, boys. You run that game. I mean, I'm not taking anything from you there. Matthews makes a phenomenal bow, but I think you're right, man. I think target archery is all just it's a sport where hunting is a way of life, and it's, you know, pursuing a wild game where they have one job to do, and that's to live. You know, target archery is quite literally a sport, and it's one guy competing against another guy, and it comes down to who's going to write me the biggest check if I win. And that's understandable. I remember when Levi Morgan went back to Matthews after going to Elite, and everybody freaked out. And I commented to one guy and I'm like, what do you do for a living? He's like, I'm an electrician. And I'm like, okay, so if another electric company called you and said, hey, we're going to pay you double what the electric company pays you now to do the exact same job, would you take it? And he said, well, of course. And I'm like, then why are we hating on Levi? Because another archery company said, we'll pay you double to do the exact same thing you do, just with a different name on your chest. Like, anybody in their right mind says, well, yeah, I would take double to do the other job. I mean, same job, same exact duties, just different company on my chest. Like, of course. Well, when it comes 100%. To target archery, it is quite literally a sport where whoever pays me the most, that's who I'm going to wear on my chest.
Not wrong.
Yep. And that's, I mean, like you said, electrician, baseball. I mean, people get traded around to who pays. The reason why it gets exploited so much more in target archery is because it's so much smaller. I mean, when one of the top three shooters, so to speak, gets traded, everybody knows, I say traded, gets paid more or, you know, wants to go shoot for that company. I mean, everybody knows about it. Lord have mercy.
Wow.
All right, let's change the topic so Dave can talk again.
All right.
I have no issue with target archery. What I have issue is when people tell me, oh, target archery is more important than hunting. It's not. And I don't care what anybody says. If you're a company and you're marketing towards target archery or using target archery to market your hunting realm, you're mistaken and making big mistakes here. Because people who shoot bow hunting don't give a rat's ass about target. I'm just being completely honest. No one has ever came to me and said, oh, I want to shoot a Levi shoots. No, that does not happen. So don't tell me that target's more important than hunting. It's not. Hunting segment makes your money. Hunting segment does everything. It's super important to this industry. So I love target archers. I have no issue with it. I think it's awesome. I think it's fun. But please do not confuse that with what actually brings in the cash, you know, and that's where I feel like a lot of misunderstanding and waste of money is happening in marketing that should be spent on hunting. But that's my
opinion. And here's what I'll say, Dave, like pretty much every target archer that you follow or watch, they also bow hunt.
No, for sure.
But yeah, that's okay. A very small percentage of bow hunters shoot target archery or care about target archery. Now, don't get me wrong. If I see like a YouTube clip or a social media reel of, you know, a shootout between two different guys, you know, Levi and, you know, Brody Turner. If I see a shootout, like I'm going to watch it, but I don't seek it out. I could care less about when the shoots take place, when it happens. However, everybody that lives in that world, pretty much bow. I shouldn't say everybody. Most people that live in that world bow hunt, but very few bow hunters care about the archery world or the target side.
Yeah. And again, it's not disrespect. It's not what I'm getting at. I'm just saying, like, you know, a lot of these people are like, oh, you got to put this, they really push that side of it. And I feel like that's cool. There's no issue with that. But if you're taking away funding from the marketing of hunting, it's kind of a mistake because realistically you're taking away from sales. You're taking away from drawing people into the pro shops like Scotty's to buy something because you're not generating that. You have to generate it in front of hunters for hunters.
Let's not make this about Scotty. Let's not make this about him.
It's always about Scotty. What do you mean?
I'll tell you what, let's make it about how an aluminum target bow costs $2,100.
Ooh,
let's make it about that.
Shit's getting real, bros.
No, it is real. It's on their website. It's, you know, Lord have mercy. Y'all act like this is a deep, dark secret. I just pulled it out of my basement. It ain't. I was working on a YouTube video today. I was talking about bows, and I scrolled down. And I said, oh, Lord have mercy. Let me know which one of y'all is paying full price for this mug. It's the same aluminum as their hunting bows, similar, if not same cams. Well, I think it is the same cam, just a different design.
Yeah.
And you're charging $2,100, and that's can you not hear me, Dylan? Hello?
Hey, I don't care what we were talking about. I got a question for both of you. Neither of you have to turn your mics off or mute it because you're ashamed to answer it. I can tell you that. Both of you have played with the dialed proof. And I have something I want to say in general across the board about the proof and about all other archery companies. But before I say it, what are your thoughts on the proof?
You want to go first, Dave?
Sure. Very high quality, super lightweight. Not many things I don't like about it. I think they did an excellent job with this site.
you know, the cost of it's a little bit extreme for me. Like, it's the only thing I don't like about it, I would say, I feel like they need to work hard to bring it down to $399. That's my opinion, but I feel like $399 is the spot for it, right? With Spot Hog, Black Gold, HHA, $300 to $400 would be ideal if they could do it. I understand they can't yet, and that's okay. So you are going to pay a premium for it, but it is pretty badass. I'm not going to lie. It's very lightweight, very nice structure, built well. The only thing I saw on Scotty early, the only thing I wasn't a huge fan is like where the plastic comes in on the inside of it. It's not 100% like perfectly aligned. It's got some screws there. It's okay. It just, you know, for that kind of money, I want it to be perfect, you know? So, but otherwise I love the thing. I think it's great.
Yeah.
So to bounce off what Dave said, I had the Arxos prior to the Proof, and I was not a huge, huge fan of it other than the amount of distance I could get out of it, which the Proof allows me to do that too. What I like about Dial thus far in the year and a half, 2 years I've been working with them is they took everything that was wrong with Arxos and they fixed it.
Bingo.
On the Proof.
Bingo.
They fixed everything that I had a complaint about. It was, I was like, damn, they listened. And then they even upgraded some stuff. And Dave, you're exactly right. That is a premium price. But here's my question to you. If they drop their price, who's going to compete with UltraView?
Here's the problem for me.
Uh-huh.
I can't speak for UltraView because I've never touched one. So I don't know the quality of it. I know you have. So I don't know the quality of it. Mm-hmm. If it's actually worth the $600, it might be because maybe it's built better than the Dial. I don't know. But I can say, you know, for what I think a consumer is willing to spend. Now, again, this is my opinion, and I know you're actually on the front line, so you're seeing what they're willing to spend. So it's a little different for your for you to answer this question than me. But from my perspective, my friends, the people I deal with, no one wants to spend $600 on a site. They want to spend about $200 to $400 for the people I deal with generally. So my whole concept was, you could keep the Proof at $600, no problem. But it'd be nice if the Dial created another one that was $400 right underneath it, you know, so they would have to be able to capture two markets there, whether it's the high end. Because you got to remember, throwing this out there, I know it's $600 is more than a Species XT. $600 is more than a legit. $600 is more than a full bow ready to hunt package. So just keep that in mind. There's a lot you can get for, you know, that price of that site. Just throwing it out there.
100%. Come out with a price point site and call it the Dial Down.
There you go.
Now, I like that one. That's exactly what I wanted to say, Scotty. I have not. I've touched a Proof like one time, not played with it, not had it on a bow. And full disclosure, like I'm good friends with one of the owners. Like, so I'm not. I don't have. You know, I'm biased. But I came out with a video and said the Arxos is garbage. I don't like it. I don't like these X features. And then I was like you. I'm like, holy cow. They listened to every single word that the customer said. They fixed every issue that I had with it. They fixed every issue that anybody had with it. And so, like, in the breath that I say I haven't played with it, I'm like, dude, I don't care if I've – like, you guys listen to the customer – you listen to what people wanted, and that's what you made. And that's what I respect, like that they are customer first. Here was the issues. Let's fix them. And so, yeah, I haven't played with it, but, you know, I'm also of that opinion, kind of like on the broadhead side of things. Like, man, I don't care how good of a bow you shoot. If your sights suck, then what's the point? Like, so, yeah, man, I mean – I'm kind of between both parties because I hear what Dave is saying. Man, $600 is more than a lot of stinking bows. Mm-hmm. But then vice versa, it's like, well, should I care more about the sights than I care about the bow? Like, if the sights can't perform with the bow, then it doesn't even matter. You know what I mean?
And for everybody listening to this podcast, and you know, me and Dylan bouncing off each other talking about how they listened. Well, one of the reasons why I think they listen so well is a lot of people don't know this. Dialed is not big as far as how many people are working there.
Correct.
I'm pretty sure it's less than 10. And I was not aware of that until I started doing some marketing for them and working with them. I had no idea. I thought they were, you know, had a 20, 30 man crew. No, it's literally less than 10, if I'm not mistaken. That's why I was like, okay, well, you guys have to pay attention in order to compete. And that's what they did.
Yeah, man, you're right. And I think they did a phenomenal job. Like, they heard the concerns. They heard the issues. They heard what people like, what they don't like, and they fixed it. And that to me, man, speaks volumes about them as a company. Like, and again, I haven't played with the proof at all. I plan on mounting one on my form, but I don't have the form yet, and I don't have the proof yet. So I haven't played with it at all. But what I do know is just, man, they listened to every concern that the consumer had about the Arxos, and they fixed it on the proof. And that to me is what makes a company worth looking at.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't get the first one till the proof, to be honest. Because again, I will be honest with everybody, it is a top-notch site. There's no doubt about it. Like, I feel like when I'm, like I said, it's super light. It fits great. They have tons of mounting options. They sent me all of the options, so it's really cool because I put it on the Bowtech. I can now put it on the Matthews. I can put it on the Hoyt. It has every option. And again, it looks stunning. And I do love the customization ideas that they allow you to do on their website. It's really cool. But Scotty, throwing it back to you on this, how does it compare to the UltraView, I guess? Because those would be right in the same price point.
I'll be honest with you, Dave. Even though I sell them, I've never mounted a UltraView on any of my bows. I literally stock them because customers request them. And they buy them. They pay for them. I don't like the pin configuration personally. Their three pin horizontal is just not for me. I mean, I know they have a couple other pin configurations now, but I mean, I guess I just really can't jump on the bandwagon personally. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with the site. I mean, it's just something that I haven't seen a wow factor in because I was stuck on the Spahog triple stack for years. Still am. And then when Dialed approached me, and we started talking about, you know, basically the design of their site. I'm like, man, that'd be a phenomenal total archery challenge site. And of course, hunting site too. I hunted with it a lot this year, so those are my two top favorite sites. Period.
What about the Boonie?
What about it?
What'd you think of that one?
I love it. It's on my Mach 33.
Sweet, isn't it? The Spothog Boonie.
That's another one that took the complaints of the customer and fixed a lot of them. They took weight out. They made it easier to dial your yardage. They added extra windage left and right because a lot of people were running out of windage adjustment, I think mainly to the right, if I'm not mistaken. Because that was the number one thing I used to hear about the Fast Eddie XL triple stack. It's too heavy. Lord have mercy, son. Do you carry yourself to the stand or do you take a wheelchair? Bless your heart. Oh, my sight's too heavy. Bless it. Good night.
Jeez.
So Spothog said, we'll put a band-aid on it, honey. It's okay.
What about Spothog? Do you carry Spothog releases?
Mm-hmm. The Wise Guy.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on those?
I think hot. You better be ready to shoot when your finger lays on that trigger. That thing is crispy.
Do they sell good?
Yeah, they sell pretty good.
Who sells the best for you for releases?
B3, and that's mainly because I carry a huge variety of B3, everything from their $50 release up.
Yeah.
All right. Let me just say this, Scotty, I got to give you credit. The first time we recorded, we talked releases and I said, I wanted to try the UltraView and you're like, why? The Onyx is 100 times better than the UltraView. And I was like, Scotty, come on, man. Like, whatever. Ordered an Onyx and I am in love. Like, I love the thing, dude. So you nailed that one spot on.
And you saved $10 and got twice the attachments and accessories and versatility.
Any short-sighted spy in the field can provide you with images. Only the Moultrie Edge 2 cell cams provide tactical reconnaissance. High-resolution photos and videos paired with detailed intel of where game is most active. Built for simplicity, just turn on your Edge 2 cell cam and it will auto-connect to one of the four major cellular networks, while our easy-to-use app arms you with game plan so you can determine where and when to hunt. Don't just capture images. Gather intelligence.
The most advanced range-finding bow sight is now even better. Introducing the Oracle 2 from Burris. Based on customer feedback, we improved the pin brightness control, refined the LRF adjustment system, and brightened the aiming ring. There's still no glass to scratch, fog, glare, or break, and the fail-safe 20-yard pin has your back no matter what. At the push of a button, you instantly get the yardage to target. Extend your ethical distance with the Oracle 2 from Burris. Burris.
But Easton match grade shafts undergo a far more meticulous straightness check with razor tolerance at both ends, the center, and the critical quarter locations. Discover the ultimate in precision and made in USA quality. Visit your authorized Easton dealer and pick up your Easton match grade Pro Shop Series arrows today.
What does it mean to be unrivaled? To be unrivaled isn't about winning a trophy. It's about putting in the hours that nobody else sees. To be unrivaled isn't just a choice, it's a lifestyle. It's to push yourself to be your best day in and day out. Gas Bowstrings. Be unrivaled.
For more than 20 years, Trophy Ridge has developed tools that bow hunters trust and continue to lead the way in bow hunting innovation. Our field-proven products dish out dirt naps all over the world. We've manufactured and sold millions of products along the way, each one strategically designed to give you a distinct advantage in the field. From the backyard and competitive courses, to the backcountry and Midwest cornfields, our products remain lethal, accurate, and continue to help you react to the situation at hand. Trophy Ridge accessories give you confidence, regardless of the situation. Our sights, rest, stabilizers, quivers, and releases set you up to be successful season after season. There are plenty of factors to think about on the hunt. Your gear shouldn't be one of them. We're Trophy Ridge, and we build the tools that bow hunters trust.
The big ones. So if they're the big ones, why don't you carry them?
They don't want to do business with me.
Why?
Ask them. Make a phone call. Maybe they'll return your calls.
Okay. Dave's gone. Okay. Well, that's interesting because, I mean,
I don't know the rules myself, but I do know there's a distance rule that I've heard of. And I don't know, you know, I'm not a pro shop person. So
there is a distance rule, but it's also per capita how many people live in that area. Because I'll give you a perfect example. If there's a high volume of people in an area, that distance gets shrunk between shops dramatically. Now, there's a lot of other variables that come into play.
Didn't know that fully.
I mean, typically the average mileage is about 30 miles roughly, but once again, it depends on how many people, you know, how many boats. Yes, sir.
If you were to go to them, just throwing this out there as a question, if you were to go to any of those major boat companies that you don't work with today and you said, listen, I have the shop right here. It's within X amount of distance from my competitor, but I'm willing to buy 500 bows from you right now. Do you think they would do that?
I don't know, because I wouldn't call them. again.
I was just curious. I didn't know if you were able to buy more, if that changes the complete game, you know.
I'm not going to say a brand, but I did throw a pretty solid number at a brand one time just to see if that's what they were after. I mean, because I'll be honest with you, we're all after more sales.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's got to make money.
And still didn't get a call back. And what the thing that kind of irritated me about that brand.
What kind of quantity are you talking here?
I was willing to throw. Well, I'll tell you the exact dollar amount number, and this isn't me being egotistical. It's and keep in mind, guys, we're in a primarily, because your Midwest guys are going to laugh, but we're in a primarily rifle state in Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said, what if my minimum order is around $60,000? And the reason I said that is because I know what I do with other brands as well, and I knew I was comfortable with that number. Still didn't get a phone call back. And then I keep in mind.
Yeah, how many bows is that, you'd you say? Just 60?
Standby. Remember, I'm a college just dropout. Random.
Somewhere between 50 and 60, I assume.
I was going to say it's probably about 55 bows, yeah. As an opening order.
That's a lot
order.
Of bows, man. That's a lot of bows, I mean, if you think about it.
About 3 pallets, 4 pallets, yeah. No, not that many. About 2 or 3 pallets.
So what you're saying is your whole answer could have been summed up by there's a bigger, better bow shop within 30 miles.
Guys, I'm not going to lie to you. I have an idea.
Sorry, Scotty.
No, I got 3 in the chamber for you. I'm waiting for Dave to finish.
I have a really good business idea.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to put it on this podcast. I'll tell you guys offline. But I think my idea is really good enough to where we should start a new company and we should do it as a team, because I'm telling you, my idea is bad bones. You guys are going to be like, wow, that's a good idea. But you're not going to steal from me, because I'm going to tell you and we're going to do it together.
Does it have anything to do with being bald headed?
No.
Okay.
Yes. The only people who can own it have to be bald headed.
All right.
Or balding.
Chrome Dome Archery coming to a shop near you.
So
be watching for it.
Relapse on your question, bigger, better bow shop. If that was the case, I wouldn't have made the phone call, Dylan. And I'm not saying I am a bigger, better bow shop. But what I am saying is some outdoor stores are owned by individuals that need a tax write-off.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I did know that. Now, so what you're saying is basically if you were to move to an area like Atlanta where the population is so much greater, then maybe they wouldn't care that there's a shop. So like, you know, within X amount of miles.
Yeah, but I'll definitely just go without those brands because I ain't going to Atlanta.
Right.
Yeah.
but like you said, though, there are a lot of different factors that play into it rather than just distance other dealers.
100%.
So I mean, there are companies out there that won't let you be a dealer unless you have X amount of storefront, like 50 feet of storefront.
Mm-hmm.
I also heard there's a buy-in too. Like you have to buy in. I don't know, you know, facts here, but I'm just saying I heard there is
a buy-in number for most companies. Yep. You want to know the number?
Yeah. I don't know the commitments or anything like that, but I know it's a lot of money. I know that. I've heard some numbers.
Yeah. Now, and here's what I'll say to the consumer. The consumer thinks like, man, these bows are so expensive. Like, holy crap, Scotty's cashing in a check. Like, man, they don't like I worked for the third largest bow company for the third largest bow shop in the world in college. And I know what our markup on was on bows, and Scotty's not making a killing. Like, so don't just think like, holy crap, you know, $1,400, $1,600 for a bow. Like, these pro shops must be making a killing. Like, no, man.
Speaking of that, Scotty, where do you make the most of your bulk money? Is it in like fletchings? Is it in clothing? Is it in? That's what I thought.
Badlands?
clothing
in general, honestly.
Just
a lot of shops carry clothing. I wondered that. And now it dawns on me that makes the most sense.
Clothing and service cost. That's where you
services,
make your money. And firearms are even worse than bows, honestly, from what I've seen.
They are 100%. I can tell you that for sure.
That's why the most successful gun stores are the biggest ones, because they have to move volume in order to make their dollar, period.
Scotty, when it comes to the small boat companies, like ones that are, you know, you don't carry. Okay. So like say something you don't carry, but it's a smaller brand, like, you know, Expedition. One of the smaller ones. Well, yeah, it's fine. Expedition, Obsession, whatever. All I'm asking is like, if you were to call them and say, listen, I want to, or APA or one of those guys, you just say to them, hey, I want to carry like three of your bows in house just to show people. Would you give it to me at consignment? Does that happen or not really consignment?
I've actually had bow companies ask me to stock their bows on consignment. Number one, I wouldn't do that because if I bring something into my store, I want to pay for it. I want it to be mine. I want it to be my problem, so to speak. I want to be able to sell it and not have to say, hey, I sold it. How much do I owe you? I mean, for a smaller bow company, or excuse me, for a smaller pro shop starting off, that would probably be a really good option if they don't have the capital.
Is it not like a test though? That I guess that's would be my point. Like, so if you brought in, say, two APAs and they both sold, wouldn't that be a thing to you to say, okay, well, I need to order 10 more, or I need to order 8 now, I'm buying them? You know, that's, I'm just wondering how it works. That's all.
There's some factors there. If I did do that with APA, the problem with that is I'd have to stock all the mods for the draw links in order to
sell. That's where it gets a little tricky.
Yeah. And same with the Obsession. Well, I say that. I don't know if Obsession's got a rotating mod now or not. Y'all can correct me if I'm wrong.
So that helps. The rotating mod's a big deal then, really, because it does help.
It is, especially in that scenario, it's a big deal. But like for Prime, with as many of those things as we sell, I mean, it's no big deal to order two or three mod sets because, you know, we're going to use pretty much all of them, and they're hopefully going to keep that same cam for another 2 years, so we're not stuck with them.
Yep. Makes sense.
Interesting. No, I can tell you from experience, you want to talk to the consumer on guns, like your gun shops are making very minimal on the guns they sell you. Like, dude, I've got a buddy that sells guns, and I've bought like a $1,200 shotgun, and his cost is, you know, $100 less. Like, your shops are not making crazy money, which is why I'm so passionate about supporting your local shops, because I need your support. But B, like, also don't complain to them about the cost. Like, they don't have any control over it. That's what they're paying for it, homie. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I'm sure you hear that a lot, man. People complaining to you about the cost of it and how you're getting rich off of it. And
well, yeah, that's definitely not the case. That's why the number one thing I ask people when they come in the shop, especially new archers, if they say, I want a bow, and I'll say, is there a specific brand you're going after? And they say, no, not really. I ask them, what are you comfortable with spending? Because that's going to determine on which bow I point you towards. And if they say $3,000, most bow hunters or new bow hunters, I hope they don't, because if you really want to spend that much, you're going to get a lot of top of the line stuff, obviously, but it's going to have a lot of features. It's going to blow your mind that you're probably not ready for. That's the tricky stuff. That's the conversation part. Y'all are both looking at something. I feel like I should be looking at my phone.
You should be.
Y'all going to make it?
Dave, Dylan, Dave's hard.
Hang on over there, whole son.
Dave's hardcore into something. I thought I got a text message from my wife, and so I needed to check it,
Dave is Googling.
I zoned out for a minute.
Dave's Googling.
It's been like a 3-hour podcast, so I zoned out.
Dave's playing Fortnite over there on his Switch.
I'm not. I was reading an article real quick on something I was going to bring up.
I've just learned this is as fascinating as turkey hunting because Dave can't even pay attention. So, no. Go ahead. I thought my kid was out up there burning the house down, so I thought I needed to run in and help my wife. Go ahead. You think I'm joking, dude. My son set the trash can on fire twice now. So go ahead, Scotty.
I don't know what the hell I was talking about. I want to talk to your son now, though. He sounds interesting.
Okay. Let's back up. So within a week, I'm talking a 7-day span. My son comes in and gets me. First off, he's in his underwear only. No socks, nothing. Underwear. Comes, gets me. Looks like he's seen a ghost. And I'm like, what's up, dude? And he's like, well, I shot some glass. And I'm like, what do you mean you shot some glass? And he's like, I was outside shooting my BB gun, Dad, and I shot some glass. And I'm like, all right, let's go check this out. So I'm walking out with him and he starts walking me like out in the field. And I'm talking like we're back out in the field. And I'm like, okay. So like in my mind, I'm like, he found an old window or, you know, an old bottle or and shot it. And then he starts circling around to the other side of the neighborhood. And I'm like, oh, crap. And sure enough, we walk up and I can see the house. I can see the whole back glass spider webbed, shattered out. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And so I immediately go into dad mode. I'm like, what were you thinking, stupid? Like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, I saw a bird on their deck and I thought I could hit it. And I'm like, yeah, well, you didn't hit it, stupid. Like, so anyways, I go up and knock on the window and I know the owners. I know who they are. Luckily for me, the guy's house that it is the Kansas Pheasants Forever, like chapter manager, whatever he is. Like, so I'm like, okay, well, he's cool with guns. I know that. So, but unlucky for me, he wasn't home. It was just his sweet little precious wife. She comes back and she's like, oh, you know, okay, I understand, but I've already called the cops. Because all I knew was that my back glass just shattered out. And I'm like, understandably. So the cop comes around the house and I'm standing there with a kid in his underwear with a BB gun. And I'm like, yeah, well, this is my son. It was him. So the cop gives my boy a talk and we go on. Not 2 days later, I'm in the kitchen. Now, at this time, my son was still in preschool. So he was with dad during the day. Like mom was at work. Dad works from home. He was with dad. So I'm working, you know, doing stuff, whatever. I smell fire. And I'm like, what the heck is that? And so I walk into the kitchen and my kitchen trash can is on fire, like straight up flames. And I'm like, Tucker, what did you do, bro? And he's like, well, I set this plate on fire. Well, the plate got hot. So I threw it in the trash can. And I'm like, understandably. So like I throw the trash can outside on the porch and I'm like, son, like, so I'm standing there face to face with the kid. He's in his underwear again. He never wears pants. And I'm like, son, within a 7-day period, you've shot somebody's window out. And now my house is on fire. What are you thinking, dude? That's my boy. That's though.
Awesome.
Same kid who's down in a ditch playing with his sister, sees a snake, tries to catch said snake, gets bit.
Oh, jeez.
And so I asked Harper, I said, Harper, what did he do when he got bit? And she said, he tried to pick it up with his other hand and he got bit on that hand too. So my son gets bit by a snake, figures out, well, that hurt that hand. So I'm gonna go ahead and grab him with the other hand, reaches down and grabs him with that hand, gets bit. And I'm like, dude, did your mother smoke with you in the womb or something like that I didn't know about, bro? Did you play in the dryer when you was a baby? Like, I don't know what's going on with you, dude. So, yeah, that's my boy.
Yes, man.
He's wild.
I think
wild.
We're about to lose Dave over here.
I shouldn't have had those two brewskis. Now I'm getting tired.
Gentlemen, before we go, I tried to ask us earlier, and then we got off on TikTok, and that led us down another rabbit hole. What can we expect to see from Bowhunter Planet? What can we expect to see from Hottie Scotty coming up in 2025?
Go ahead, Dave.
You know, I don't know. I we've got a lot of focus this year on our Hunt Club series that we've been trying to launch last year. We kind of did a slow launch, and so that's going to be kind of front and center this year. We're basically just filming more hunts and getting more hunting content into our network. More collaboration. I do plan to do some stuff with like you guys and other people more this year, try to do a little bit extra things.
That's what I heard last year too.
Well, I got a whole year to figure it out. So that's what I said, before it gets busy, that's what we got to figure it out. I do plan to, you know, I'll continue. I'm going to try, like I said, work on some new channels this year for fun as well. The Minimoto Planet. And, we own a couple other ones we kind of dibble and dabble in a little bit, but it's kind of fun. And it's just like, you know, the moto one's sweet because it's all motorcycles and stuff. So like I'm loving it, man. I rebuilt like motorcycles for fun. Just, it's really fun. Like, it's one of my coolest hobbies right now, besides archery, of course, but
you should start
turkey hunting, things like that.
You should start a quilting planet.
Quilting planet?
Yeah.
Well, my son keeps telling me to quit Boner Planet and just do more of a general like page because he says, Dad, you're really good at like talking on camera and talking like, you know, in podcast stuff. You should do something else because hunting's not worth a lot of money. And I said, listen, I get it, dude, but I don't do this for the money. If I did it for the money, I agree with you 100%. But I love archery and it's just something I want to do because I feel like it's needed in the industry. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. But I am okay with starting something on the side to try to create something different that, you know, that might do better overall as far as, you know, popularity, things like that. So I get it. And, you know, we always make a joke around here that if we started something different in 2009, like a CNET or something, we'd be multimillionaires. But we chose archery because we loved it.
But you chose Bow Hunting Planet.
Exactly. So that's it for me.
Very cool, man. Well, it's no secret here. What's big for me in 2025 is Typical Sportsman. Launched it December and just really looking to build it, man. And really excited because, again, like I mentioned earlier, you know, for me, for the last 7 years, it's been kind of archery only. Well, I like to duck hunt. I like to thermal coyote hunt. I like to, you know, fly fish. I like to do a whole bunch of different stuff. And so I'm just excited to be able to spread my wings and do different stuff and live in the outdoor space and more than just bow hunting. So, that's what I'm excited to do. You know, I want to do like a duck 101 series, and talk about duck flyways and how to kill them and decoy spreads and all that stuff. So that's kind of my wheels have been turning hardcore on a duck 101 series and how to put that together. A lot of upland bird hunting. That's what I've been doing for the last 2 weeks straight, just killing upland birds, stacking pheasants and quail and having a good time doing it. So that's what's new for me in 2025. Hottie Scotty, what do you got?
I don't know. I guess reckon about the same thing that I've been doing. The biggest thing for me is that I've started to focus on more platforms other than just TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube,
He's
all
gone.
Those platforms really.
Oh, he's back.
He's sending it out.
What in tarnation?
Uh-oh. Matthews is at it again.
I think he said something about Red Note.
Jeez. No, I think it was Hoyt that time. Jesus.
Focusing on more platforms other than TikTok.
Yeah. YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all that good jazz. They kind of took off on me a little bit in a short period of time, which I was not expecting. So now I feel obligated to post more on those platforms. Yeah. But kind of like what Dave said, I plan on collabing a whole lot more with more people. Like my Alabama hunt with Gerald Swindle, who's become a really good friend of mine. That dude right there, he's a fireball. But plan on doing an out-of-state – well, I always do an out-of-state TAC event. But I'm not going to Tennessee TAC this year for the first time, and I'm not doing the Georgia TAC because it's not going to be there.
You're doing Michigan?
I'm not saying yet.
San Antonio.
I'm not going to Texas to get cactus.
Dude, you could stay at my camper. It'd be awesome. It's right. It's about an hour away, but we could drive every day. It'd be fine.
You're a great friend. I got Marriott points.
Okay. Well, so you could save some money if you needed to, but if you don't care, that's fine.
What kind of camper?
I got a nice camper, like a 30 footer.
Nah, Michigan's actually on the list.
You gotta stay at my place one night so we have a campfire and shit. I mean, it's like awesome. It's like
really cool. Check it out on camper. You can check it out on Camper Planet. Podcast, check it out.
Yeah, if you come to Michigan, you gotta come early so you can come to the studio like a day before this TAC. That'd be a good idea.
When I do come to Michigan TAC, because that's actually gonna be the one I go to next after this year, just gave that away, I'll definitely be coming up early to do a podcast and hang out with you, Dave.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
But same old, just trying to keep orders coming through the shop, keep people coming in, trying to keep people happy, and keep putting out some realistic content for people to watch.
Yeah.
Dude, you kill a deer with that APA bow?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'm on your YouTube right now looking
at
it.
That was the first one I shot. That was the one I was talking about earlier that got heavily censored because I showed, look at this exit hole, and you see blood, and then at the end I show the heart at the processor.
That's awesome, man.
Didn't know you couldn't do that on YouTube.
That's so cool.
Yeah, Dave, I smoked her ass.
Dave, don't get us going down another path.
No, I'm falling asleep.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.